Is America's future in manufacturing?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. President Obama is pushing high-end manufacturing in Pittsburgh today, but just how big a role will that sector play in America's economic future? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are lower right now. The Dow down 48 points at 12,001. The NASDAQ down about 0.5%. The S&P 500 down about 0.33%. The government said this morning that 1.8% economic growth we thought the U.S. had last quarter was actually 1.9%. Not much, but we will take it. Now let's get to manufacturing. President Obama is pledging $500 million this morning to jumpstart jobs in that sector. For more, let's bring in Chris Lowe. He's chief economist with FTN Financial, and he's with us live from New York, as he is every Friday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Chris, how big a role do you think manufacturing will play in the future of the U.S. economy?
Well, I can tell you this. It's definitely playing a bigger role in this economic expansion than it has in the last 30 years. And that's, well, there's a lot of things going on. But what one place we see it is if you look at the percentage of manufacturing industries that are growing. Before the recession in China, the numbers were consistently higher than in the U.S. After the recession, consistently higher in the U.S. than in China.
Well, what about the talk, though, that we were moving toward more of a service economy in the U.S.?
Well, that's true. For decades, we have been, but that's partly because the dollar was quite strong. The dollar's been weak since 2008. That makes U.S. manufacturing more competitive. In addition, what U.S. manufacturers are doing is they're focusing on high quality, tough-to-do things, and that's something the U.S. is really quite good at. We're seeing a lot of growth there.
Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Well, President Obama is touting manufacturing jobs in Pittsburgh, but in another part of the Rust Belt, Toledo, Ohio, city leaders have another idea for economic growth, turning waterfront land into new commercial spaces and residences. But they're getting the money to do that not from Washington, but from Chinese investors, as Dan Bobkoff reports as part of the public media project Changing Gears.
Toledo's mayor, Michael Bell, is so serious about doing business with China, the backside of his business card is in Chinese.
Americans always waiting for people to come to them. Well, we're on the other side now, and we have to be able to reach out, and we have to be able to market ourselves.
And it's working. Just 5 months after his first trip to China, Mayor Bell sold a struggling city-owned restaurant complex to Chinese real estate developers for more than $2 million. The buyers didn't know Toledo existed a year ago. But they become so enamored, they just bought an even bigger parcel of the city's waterfront called the Marina District. I'm standing there with Dean Monsky of the Regional Growth Partnership, an economic development group. It's 125 acres, skyline views, river access, ain't nothing on it.
Let's be honest here, this is mostly just weeds right now.
You're right, we've got undeveloped land that has been about 10 years right now in the making.
Monsky says many local developers have come and gone, but none could get enough financing to actually build something. The two Chinese developers bought the property for $3.8 million. There's talk of building mixed-use retail and residential. Mayor Bell says the Chinese didn't even demand incentives.
No abatements, no loans. Just please accept this cash and get out of our way.
In the past, Chinese investment in the U.S. mostly went to financial, manufacturing, and energy ventures. But China's newly rich are starting to diversify into real estate. Derek Scissors is an Asia scholar at the Heritage Foundation. He says most of those deals are for existing buildings. The Toledo venture would be among the first ground-up development projects, if it gets built as planned.
We haven't seen any sign that the Chinese know anything about property development in the U.S.
Scissors points to examples in Australia and elsewhere, where Chinese real estate investors have just sat on land once they bought it. But Toledo can buy back the waterfront property at cost if nothing is built in 5 years. I'm Dan Bobkoff from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rates CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Faith in Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke seems to be slipping. A new Bloomberg poll finds only 30% of those surveyed approve of the job Bernanke is doing. But does a Fed chairman really have to worry about polls? We asked Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer to find out.
Most of the people polled had a negative opinion of Bernanke or didn't know how to rate his performance. I did my own small street survey this morning in downtown Washington. I ran into David Canty, a carpenter. Canty wishes Bernanke would do more to boost new construction.
Create incentives, I think, to be able to get it out there and invest in buildings and real stuff.
But hey, Bernanke's not running for re-election. He doesn't have pollsters at his elbow. So who cares what people think, right? Not exactly. Catherine Mann is a former Fed economist who now teaches at Brandeis University. She says negative polls won't change Fed policy, but Bernanke can't dismiss them.
So he certainly will look at this survey and be dismayed that it is a barometer of the lack of public confidence in the economy and in policy.
Mann says if consumers aren't confident, they won't spend enough to get the economy humming again. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, if the Fed chief wants to cheer himself up after those poll numbers, he can head right down to a new bar in the DuPont Circle neighborhood of Washington, D.C., where the signature drink is a 48-ounce martini that is as big as your head. It sells for $80 and includes a ladle if necessary. Radio station WTOP reports the bar is selling about 40 of the drinks every week. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Golf has Tiger Woods, skateboarding has Tony Hawk, basketball Michael Jordan. Now a stagnant tennis industry seeks a fresh superstar, so it's tapping new talent.
Hit the ball and stay focused on the ball and not let it go out of the lines.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, 10 and under tennis, the day's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.